I want to begin by thinking about the Yom Tov of Pesach and comparing it, as it were, to other Yom Tovim. We know that every Yom Tov is really an opportunity for us to try to not only remember and to commemorate and to think back on the salvations of our past, but to re-experience it in the now, to live it in the moment. And I think Pesach is unique more than any other Yom Tov. It's true about every Yom Tov. It's true about Sukkot. It's true about Purim. It's true about Chanukah. It's true about Shavuos. But I don't think any Yom Tov affords us the opportunity, as much as Pesach, to be able to re-experience what it was like to leave Mitzrayim. The Mishnah is well known. It could be, it was referenced already earlier this morning. B'chol dor v'dor chayev adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yatzim Mitzrayim. Every Jew has an obligation to try to feel as if we're leaving Mitzrayim. And the pasuk that the Haggadah quotes, the pasuk that the Mishnah quotes, is a remarkable one. It's a very personal one. Shenemar v'higadeta levincha bayom ahu lemor. We should transmit to our children. We should share that story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the way that we convey it is ba'avur zeh osa Hashem li b'tzeisi Mitzrayim. Look what Hashem has done li, for me. To be able to feel that I am leaving Mitzrayim. Liro says atzmo, again in the words of the Mishnah, ki'ilu hu yatzim Mitzrayim, to feel that we're leaving Mitzrayim. Or in the words of some of the Rishonim, laharo says atzmo, to display it outwardly so others can even see you. It looks as if you're leaving Mitzrayim. Do you ever consider the following question? The following halachic consideration. Why don't we say the bracha of sha'asa nisim lavoseinu bayamim ahem bazman hazeh on Pesach like we do on Chanukah and Purim? I'll tell you why that's a very compelling question. Sha'asa nisim lavoseinu bayamim ahem bazman hazeh, to experience the miracles of old. It's a compelling question because the Mishnah in Brachos on Daf Nun Dalid tells us that one makes a bracha on experiencing a miracle. One makes a bracha on going to a place or being in a situation, a context where a miracle previously occurred in Jewish history. And the Gemara says, what's the source? Where do we know that one makes a bracha commemorating, celebrating, recognizing a miracle that took place at some earlier point in history? The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Da Amar Kra Vayomer Yisro. Yisro was the one who established this bracha, that we make a bracha commemorating a miracle. Baruch Hashem, Asher Hitzil Eschem Miyad Mitzrayim Umiyad Paro. What an amazing thing that Yisro made a bracha thanking Hashem for the salvation of the Jewish people from the hands of Mitzrayim, from the hands of Paro. And therefore it's surprising, and the Shiltos of Rav Chai Gaon in the 8th century notes this, it's surprising in a sense that the source of making a bracha on a miracle, which is Yetzias Mitzrayim, doesn't actually get such a bracha. Sha'asa nisim lavoseinu, says the She'iltos, we say it on Chanukah, we say it on Purim. What's the source? Because Yisro acknowledged that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We make a bracha in celebration of a miracle, so we should do so on Chanukah and Purim. But ironically, we don't do it on Pesach. We don't say at the Seder, Sha'asa nisim lavoseinu bayamim ahim bazman hazeh. Ironically, the very source of making a bracha on a miracle is not practiced, is not celebrated, is not acknowledged at the Seder itself. So I saw a beautiful answer from the Ger Rebbe, the sixth Ger Rebbe, the Pnei Menachem. He served as the Ger Rebbe from 1992 until his passing in 1996, a very short reign as a Hasidish Rebbe. But he explained a beautiful idea, and it's based on a comment of the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev. Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev said, you need to understand what the very words Sha'asa Nisim Lavo Seinu Bayamim Ahem Bazman Hazeh actually means. What does it mean, Sha'asa Nisim Lavo Seinu? Hashem, you did miracles for our ancestors, bayamim ahem, in these days, bazman hazeh. So typically we understand it, bayamim ahem, bazman hazeh, in these days, at this point of the calendar year, bazman hazeh, at this time of the calendar year. But the Berditchever explained, no, bayamim ahem means at this point in the calendar year, bazman hazeh, in our times. That when we come to the Yom Tov of Chanukah, when we come to the Yom Tov of Purim, we're tapping in, we're in some small measure tapping into the energy that was present at the time of the original Chanukah experience. We're tapping into the energy that was present, the miracle that was present at the time of the Purim experience. Bayamim ahem sha'asa nisim lavoseinu. Yes, they experienced it, but we also are experiencing it. Bayamim ahem, in this time of the calendar year, bazman hazeh mamish, in our times, literally. But explain the Pnei Menachem, Pesach is different. Because on Pesach, it's not just tapping in to some of that energy, some of that light, some of that redemption that took place once upon a time, and we're tasting it in some small measure. On Pesach, it's not She'asa Nisim Lavo Seinu at all. It's not commemorating at any degree what happened to our ancestors. We're not reliving it, we're living it, mamish. We're experiencing it in the moment. Ba'avor zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. And therefore, in a sense, it becomes inappropriate for us to say, She'asa Nisim Lavo Seinu. Because the Seder night is not just even retelling or reliving what our ancestors experienced and tasting it in some small measure, but we're fully experiencing our own personal redemption on the night of the Seder. B'chol dor v'dor chayiv adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yotza mimitzrayim. So I want to try to understand what that means. That's a very lofty goal. That's the mission statement. That's what we're trying to experience. That's the stated goal of the Seder, to experience redemption in our own way. She'asa Hashem li. To such a degree that it's inappropriate to say She'asa Nisim Lavo Seinu. Such a bracha has no place at the Seder. But to be able to understand what it means to us right here and now, 2021, Tafshin Pei Aleph, we need to try in a very honest and real way to think back, what was it like for them? Let's put ourselves in our ancestors' shoes. Let's try to walk in their footsteps, even though we're experiencing it in our own personal way. But let's try to understand what it must have felt like for them. And I want to begin to do that by going through a very simple, pashut pshat, simplistic, straightforward reading of the Psukim, the opening six chapters of Shemos. Very, very superficially, very, very simply. And I want to get a taste of that emotional roller coaster that the Jews leaving Mitzrayim were on, that they were riding on. Where does the Geula begin in Mitzrayim? Where does it all begin? It begins with Jews who are in pain. It begins at the end of the second parak of Shemos. Vayihi bayamim harabim ahem. It was during those long and painful days of Mitzrayim that the king of Egypt died. And Bnei Yisrael cries out, Vayanchu Bnei Yisrael min ha'avoda vayizaku. Bnei Yisrael are groaning and they're screaming and they're in pain. Rashi explains Paro's bathing in the Jewish baby's blood. Okay. But Klal Yisrael, they're hurting, they're in pain. Vayishma Elokim, sorry, Vata'al Shavasam Ela Elokim and Avoda, their cries ascend before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayishma Elokim Esnakasam. And Hashem suddenly decides, I'm going to listen, I hear their cries. Vayizkor Elokim Esbriso, Es Avram, Es Yitzchak, Es Yaakov. Hashem begins to recall the promises that he made to the Avos. Vayar Elokim Esbnei Yisrael, Vayed Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees what we're experiencing. He hears our groans, our cries, and Hashem vayeid Elokim, and God, as it were, becomes attentive. Rashi explains, Nasan aleihem lev v'lohelim einav. Hashem's heart was aroused, and Hashem didn't move his eyes away. He didn't hide his eyes from Klal Yisrael anymore. He was prepared to look at us. It's not necessarily Bnei Yisrael crying with a hope for redemption. It's just crying. It's pain. It's Jewish suffering. It's the Jewish people crying out from the pain of Galus, not asking specifically for redemption, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears the pain of Klal Yisrael, and Hashem is responsive. Perek Gimel, Moshe encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the burning bush at the Sna, and it's a remarkable sight. Moshe pays attention there as well. He's noticing it. He looks. And Hashem says to Moshe, I've seen the pain of Bnei Yisrael. I've heard the cries of Bnei Yisrael, and I'm coming to save Bnei Yisrael. Go share the good news. Moshe's not sure. Are the Jewish people ready to believe? Are they going to accept me? Hashem gives Moshe some interesting magic tricks. He shows him some signs. Hashem reassures, I'm going to help you. You have nothing to worry about. Moshe comes back to Mitzrayim. He shares the message with Aaron, with the Zakenim, with the Jewish people. And the feeling is really good. There's a really positive sentiment. People feel that this is happening. There's a lot of talk of redemption. There's a lot of hope. There's very, very positive sentiments all around. And the fourth parak of Shemos ends, Vaya'amein ha'am. The people, the spirit has been roused. The people are ready to believe. Vaya'amein ha'am. The people believed Moshe. Vayishmu ki pakad Hashem es b'nei Yisrael. They're listening. They're able to hear that Hashem has a plan, that we're actually getting out of Mitzrayim. This is really happening. V'chi ra'a es anyam, that Hashem is paying attention to our suffering. And b'nei Yisrael, they're bowing. They're prostrating themselves. They're celebrating. They're excited. They're believers. They hear the message. They process the message. Okay, so there's one last step. All we have to do now, Moshe and Aaron have to go to Paro and let Paro know the news. So Moshe and Aaron come to Paro and they say, Paro, listen, we have a message for you. And Paro says, what are you talking about? He hears none of it. Paro is not interested. You're lazy. You're interfering. Leave the Jews alone. And he increases the labor and Klal Yisrael immediately are suffering once again. The pain is increased. Klal Yisrael are feeling that setback, that nation that moments earlier, they were ready to listen, they were ready to believe. The Shotrei B'nai Yisrael encounter Moshe and Aaron on the way out of Paro's palace, and they're so upset. Moshe and Aaron, what are you doing? You're making things worse. A minute ago, everyone was believing, everyone was ready to leave Mitzrayim. The energy was so positive, and so quickly it dissipated. Moshe comes to Hashem. He's all confused, he's all nervous. Hashem responds to Moshe, "Don't worry, Moshe, I got this. It's going to be fine. Just watch. Look what I'm going to do to Paro. It's going to be wonders." And Moshe is uplifted and he's receives the chizik from Hashem. He goes back to B'nai Yisrael. He wants to share the message with them. And at this point, B'nai Yisrael, they can't hear it anymore. They're totally numb. B'nai Yisrael is numb. They had their hopes lifted. They were so excited. They thought, maybe this is really happening. But as soon as they felt that crushing setback, the increased labor, back to work more than ever before, the hearts of the Jewish people are numb. Their ears are deaf. And Perek Vav tells us, Pasuk Tes, Vayedaber Moshe Keno B'nai Yisrael. Moshe, after receiving the words of Chizuk from Hashem, goes to relay that to B'nai Yisrael. And B'nai Yisrael's response is, V'lo Shamu El Moshe Mikotze Ruach U'Me'avoda Kasha. B'nai Yisrael can't hear it. B'nai Yisrael's hearts are not ready to accept it. In the words of Rashi, Lo Kiblu Tanchumin. They were suffering, they were mourning their own lives to such a degree that they couldn't accept Moshe's words of comfort. They were crushed. Moshe, we're done. We can't be. We give up. Their ears could no longer hear. The same B'nai Yisrael who two prakim earlier, Ve'yishmu, Kifakad Hashem es B'nai Yisrael, the same Jews, V'lo Shamu El Moshe, Mikotze Ruach. Their spirits had been crushed, Me'avoda Kasha. They couldn't accept it. They felt betrayed. They were numb from the work and they just couldn't hear it. And I begin with this recounting of the first six prakim of Shemos because I feel in so many ways, I feel so much of B'nai Yisrael on a night that we're heading towards in less than 2 weeks to sit at the Seder and to once again, b'chol dor v'dor, to make it so personal, to feel that redemption. Allow me to make a public confession, if I may. A year ago, I thought we had it. I really thought we had it. I thought Mashiach was coming and it wasn't based on any particular prediction. And it wasn't any particular gematria or Bible code. It was simply a feeling in the air a year ago when the world was overturned in such a remarkable way that we all felt something different that maybe we hadn't felt in our entire lifetime. Certainly I felt that way. And now here we are 1 year later, trying to muster up the strength once again to believe in that possibility as we enter today into Chodesh Nisan. Today, of course, is Rosh Chodesh. And we try to renew our hopes. We try to renew our dreams. And there's this feeling of betrayal. This feeling like if Hashem couldn't pull it off last year, so what's going to be different this year? Lo shamu el Moshe mikotze ruach u'me'avoda kasha. It's hard for us to want to believe. It's hard for us to get excited again. Yes, we know the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph, Benisan nig'alu, Benisan asidan ligal. We're very familiar with the Gemara. In Nisan, we experience Geula. In Nisan, once again, we'll experience Geula. So today, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we're supposed to feel more hopeful. Rabbi Shimon Schwab, as a young man, spent the Shabbos with the Chafetz Chaim in the year 1930, with Parshas HaChodesh Vayakal Pekudei, 1930, 3 years before the saintly Chafetz Chaim passed away. And the Chafetz Chaim mentioned to Rabbi Shimon Schwab over the course of that Shabbos, Leil Shabbos Kodesh, Rabbi Schwab records it in his Sefer, the Ma'ayan Beis HaShoev on Parshas Bo, on page 150. I have it open in front of me. The Chafetz Chaim told the young Rabbi Schwab, Ben Nisan Nigalu uve Nisan Asidin Ligael. Again, quoting the Gemara, in Nisan, we experience redemption. In Nisan, we will once again experience redemption. The Chafetz Chaim explained at the Shabbos table, even though every day of our life, we're expected to long to hope for Mashiach's arrival, Horei al pi din, tzrichim letzapos li Yeshua b'chol chodesh Nisan, kesafek hashaku. But when the month of Nisan arrives, the halacha changes. It's not enough to just want, to hope, to dream of Mashiach. Again, in some small measure. But it has to be a safek shakul, 50-50. 50% odds that Mashiach is coming today. 50% chance he's not. It's not a 1 in 100. It's not a 5% chance or a 10% chance. It's a safek shakul. Maybe Mashiach is going to come. Aval chaval, said the Chafetz Chaim. How tragic it is. But the Yetzihara convinces us that it's a far-fetched chance, that it's not realistic at all. The Yetzihara robs us of our hopes and our dreams. So Chodesh Nisan is the time when we're supposed to be feeling it that much more. we're that much more energetic, that much more hopeful, that much more confident. And yet after a very long year, like the one that each of us has experienced, each in our own way this past year, the avoda kasha, the kotzer ruach, it's hard for us to imagine that this year is going to be any different. We feel a sense of numbness. I think that's a good word. I've been using that word a lot recently. We're numb from this last year and everything that we've gone through. How many people have mentioned to me in the past week, I can't believe it's Nisan. I can't believe it's Pesach again. How did we get back to Pesach? I can picture myself sitting at the Seder like it was yesterday. How did we get back to Pesach? And how do we draw from the deep wellsprings of our faith to muster up the energy to prepare to leave Mitzrayim again? Where do we get that strength from? The Nitziv, the holy Nitziv of Elazhin, wrote a commentary on Chumash called the Hemek Davar. And he notes, as we know very well, that the four Lishonos of Geula, Votzesi, Vitzalti, Vigaalti, Velakachti, are the source, according to the Talmud Yerushalmi, for the four cups of wine that we're going to drink at the Seder. And the Nitziv wonders, why is it that we have four cups? Why is it that we have four Lishonos of Geula? And the Nitziv writes in Shemos Perek Vav in his Hemek Davar, it's understood, it's simple. Demuschal Pashatu. She'i efshar litzayer. It is not possible. She'ayish hamoni shehu ke'eved kanani omed ba'avodas chomer ulevenim. You can't take a person who has suffered so much, a Jew in Mitzrayim, 210 years of backbreaking labor. It's not possible overnight to transform such a person. Va'ola b'meshach mu'at l'malas Yisrael. You can't take a Jew from beneath a whip from 210 years and stand them at Har Sinai. It's not possible for such a person in such a short period of time. Roy la'amod b'maymid har Sinai l'kabul ha-Torah. B'more gadol shel gilui shechina. You're just not ready for it. Our souls are too numb. Our ears are too deaf. And therefore, said the Nitziv, was a process of getting out of Mitzrayim. V'otzesi, v'itzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. To be able to absorb it in the words of the Nitziv, la'at, la'at, little by little. We were physically broken. We were emotionally weary. It wasn't possible to take a Jew right out of Mitzrayim and to take him straight to Har Sinai. What the Nitziv is telling us is that life is a long journey and it's a winding road. And sometimes it's very exhausting. It's tiresome. It's not always so easy for a Jew to hold on, to feel, and to every year comes Chodesh Nisan. Like the Chavetz Chaim said, we have to be able to feel it that much more. Mashiach is coming. I'm broken. I'm still brokenhearted from last Pesach. Again, I really believed. I don't think I had an unhealthy sense of belief, but I really felt it in a way that I never felt before, that I could picture it happening on the Leila Seder, being transported, whatever it means, flown to Eretz Yisrael, joining the rest of Klal Yisrael and Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, eating a Karban Pesach. It felt real in a way that I never felt in my life. And yet here we are, back on that road of Otsesi, Vitzalti, V'ga'alti, V'lakachti, that long and winding path, that tiresome journey back to Eretz Yisrael to long for the Geula. One of our principles of faith, as codified for us by the Rambam, is 13 principles of faith in the Parash HaMishnah Meseches Sanhedrin, as found in our Sidurim. Again, it's not exactly the words of the Rambam, but certainly it's based on the words of the Rambam. Ani Mamin Be'emuna Shleima, the 12th of our 13 principles. I believe with absolute faith, b'viyas haMashiach. I believe in the concept of Mashiach. V'af al pi sheyisma me'ah, and even if Mashiach should delay, im kol ze achaka lo b'chol yom sheyavo, I will continue to hope for Mashiach's arrival despite my disappointments. The Brisker Rav is quoted in several places, in the Sefer Shari Ora and Parshas Balak and other places as well. The Brisker Rav explained, it's not a question and answer. The 13 principles of faith are not questions and answers. One of the principles of faith is we believe that Hashem rewards and punishes. So do we have a refrain? And if you'll ask, so why is it that sometimes the wicked prosper? That's not part of one of the principles of our faith. We believe animam b'muna shleima that God doesn't have a body. And if you'll ask, but the Torah describes God's hand and God's finger and God's eyes and God's ears. It's not a question-answer format. So explain the Brisker Rav, ani ma mevuna shleim b'vias haMashiach. And if you'll ask, v'afal pishi yisma meya, and if you'll say, what should I do if it delays? Im kol ze achakol. It's not a response to a question. It's stating a fact. It's stating what it is that's expected of us. And what's expected of us, according to this principle of our faith, is ani ma mevuna shleim b'vias haMashiach. I believe in the possibility of Mashiach, the concept of Mashiach. But I also believe, it's not a response to my frustration, part of what's expected of us part of the mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah, part of that principle of faith. Maybe it is a mitzvah on some ledger. I don't know. We have to think about that. But what's expected of us is not just to believe in an abstract way that Mashiach is something that Jews believe in. To believe in Mashiach and to long for Mashiach, that's what's expected of us. That's the declaration. I believe in Mashiach and I long for Mashiach. Belonging and waiting and hoping, it's frustrating. It's a frustrating process. And that journey again to the Geula Shleima is a wearisome one. It's exhausting. So I want to try to draw some chizuk from yesterday's parsha. Because the Shabbos before we enter into, obviously, a new chodesh, obviously contains within it many messages that set the stage for this month of redemption. And I want to look back to yesterday's parsha, and I want to talk about a person we met yesterday. A person who maybe we don't think about enough. If I were to ask you to name some of the heroes of Jewish history, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, the Moshe Rabbeinus, the Aaron HaKohens, but maybe we don't think enough about just how exalted this individual was. And who am I referring to? I'm referring to Bezalel. Bezalel, the chief architect of the Mishkan, the man who was charged with the task of building a house for God. And Bezalel is identified in yesterday's parsha, Vayomer Moshe al Bnei Yisrael, Re'u Kara Hashem B'Shem. Look how the creator of the universe has designated this individual by name, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor Lamata Yehuda. Being called by name, being identified by one's name, by no less than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chor Lamata Yehuda, Kara Hashem B'Shem, that means he's a person of distinction. That means he's a very chashuv individual, that he's known by name. He must have had an awesome reputation, an outstanding person that God identifies him. Hashem, as it were, points him and says, that's my man. He's the one who's going to build the Mishkan. He's going to be the one in charge. A good name is not a small thing at all. The Medrash Rabbah in yesterday's parsha begins by quoting the pasuk in Koheles, Tov Shem Mishemen Tov. A good name is greater than the finest of oils. V'yom ha'maves miyom hivaldo. And the Medrash connects it to Bezalel. Tov Shem Mishemen Tov. It's not a small thing to have a good reputation, to be a person who is identified by name, by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Again, a person of tremendous distinction. That's not a small thing. And the Medrash comments on the second half of that pasuk, Koheles Perek Zayin, V'yom ha'maves miyom hivaldo. The day of death is greater than the day of birth, just like a good name is greater than fine oil. What does that mean? Says the Medrash, Yom misaso shel adam gadol miyom leidaso. Ironically, the day of death is greater than the day of birth. Lama, why is that so? Shebi yom shenolad bo, ein adam yodea ma'amasav. Because on the day one comes into this world, no one knows who this, everyone's so excited, a newborn baby, wow, such a cute little child, all the potential in the world, but no one knows what's going to come from this child. No one knows how this person's going to live their life, the values that they're going to stand for. This child could become a monster. No one knows anything about this kid. So what are we celebrating? Aval kishamei, says the Medrash, but when a person leaves this world, modia maisav lebrios, we know who this person was. When the story is over, when we reach the end of the journey, then we know who this individual was. And the Medrash continues by quoting a mashal from Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi in the Medrash says, it's like two ships sailing the great sea. Imagine you're standing by the seaport, and one ship is heading out to sea, another ship is returning from its journey. And everyone is clapping, and everyone is celebrating for the ship that's leaving. Have a great trip, we're so excited. Everyone's waving goodbye, and everyone's cheering. And the ship that's returning to the seaport, there's no one there to greet the arriving boat. And a wise man is standing there by the dock, by the seaport, and he's observing the scene, and he says to the people gathered there, this is so backwards. V'nahafachu, this is so backwards. Chilufei hadvarim ani roakan, says the Medrash. The wise man by the seaport says, this is backwards. I see it just the opposite. The ship that's just beginning its journey, no one knows what's going to happen. No one knows what dangers, challenges, hazardous situations lie ahead. The ship that's coming back to the port, at safely returning from its journey, that's a source of celebration. It's returned in peace and security. But the ship that's just leaving, no one knows what's going to be. Says the Medrash, when a person enters into this world, no one knows what their life is going to be. And yet we're so excited. We're rejoicing about that possibility. But when a person returns his soul to his creator, that's the right time to rejoice. When you make it to the end of the story, and you see that a person lived in a way that his honor, his reputation is still intact, He hasn't tarnished his name. He hasn't lost hope along the way. He's lived by his values. That's a source of celebration. So says the Medrash, Bezalel, that Bezalel should be identified, Kara Hashem b'shem, that Hashem should call Bezalel by name along the way in his own lifetime. He must have been an unbelievably special individual. That mashal, I love that mashal. That mashal of the boats at sea. It's borrowed by so many of the Bali Musar, Bali Machshava. When the Vilna Gaon wrote his metaphorical, his allegorical interpretation of Sefer Yonah, where the Vilna Gaon explained Yonah was not only a historical character, but Yonah is a mashal for us, a parable. Yonah is the description of an neshama being sent to this world and wanting to run away from its challenge of life itself. Yonah boards a ship thinking he could flee from his mission. And the Vilna Gaon sees that story of Yonah being swallowed by a fish. Yonah trying to find his way. Again, along that tumultuous journey, that frightening journey at sea, that's all of life. That's the nature of life itself, the raging waters of this world. There are no guarantees that anyone is going to make it. So here we are, friends, sitting 2 weeks before Pesach, at the end of Jewish history, and we're holding on. We're mamish clutching on to, we're tossing and turning on that boat, and we're holding on for dear life. And there's a sense of despair. I'll be honest, there's a sense of despair that some people have. There's a sense that if we couldn't pull it off last year, that was a great opportunity. If we couldn't pull off the Geula last Pesach, when the world was so ready for it, then what's going to make this year any different? So I want to share with you a story of a Jew who had a tumultuous ride at sea. A very famous Jew, a very distinguished Jew, who unfortunately had some ups and downs along the way. He was a Tana, he was a genius, he was a tzaddik. His name was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, remember him from Pirkei Avos in the second parak? Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is described as a Ma'ayan HaMesgaber. Mayana Mesgaber, as a person who just grew and grew and grew, as a raging river of possibilities of holiness, of wisdom. So much so that Abba Shaul comments in that Mishnah in the second parak of Avos, Im yukol chach miYisrael b'kaf maznayim, if you were to put all the sages of the Jewish people on one side of the scale, and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach on the other side of the scale, he would outweigh all of them. That's how distinguished he was. That's how accomplished he was. Or perhaps you remember him from Meseches Chagiga, Daf Yudal and Amud Beis. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was traveling with his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They were riding on a donkey. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach looks at his Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, maybe we could talk a little Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism. Maybe we could expound the Maisa Merkava, the great secrets of the divine chariot. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, haven't I taught you? You're not allowed to talk to anyone about that. If a person is wise enough to expound it to himself, he's allowed to do so. So he says, Rebbe, can I try to say it over in front of you? Can I share my understanding of the Maisa Merkava? At that point, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai descended from the donkey. He wrapped himself in his talis and he sat under an olive tree. And he began to expound. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach began to darshan Maisa Merkava. And the Gemara says at that moment, all of the heavens came to listen to the beautiful discourse of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. The Kabbalistic discourse, the drush of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Yarda Eish min Hashamayim, a heavenly fire descended, says the Gemara. Siva kol ha'ilanos shebesada, surrounding all of the trees of the field. Paschu kulan va'amru shira. And all of a sudden, the trees themselves started to sing, to rejoice, to sing and dance over the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. A tzaddik, a tamar chacham, a holy Kabbalist, who understood the secrets of creation, the secrets of Maisa Merkava. And yet, that same holy tzaddik, riding the waves of the ocean of life, which is no simple task, almost lost himself completely. He almost lost himself entirely. Klal Yisrael almost lost this brilliant mind and this shining soul. Because the Gemara tells us one other story about Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Shabbos Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach found himself in a town that was known for the pleasures of this world, and he drank some wine, and he enjoyed the bathhouses, and he put down his Gemara for a period of time. But that period dragged on to such a degree that Iaker Talmudei, he forgot all of his learning. The same Rabbi Elazar ben Arach who could outweigh all of the sages, the same Rabbi Elazar ben Arach who expounded Maisa Merkava and had the trees singing and dancing, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach became a complete ignoramus. When he returned to his colleagues, the Gemara says, Kam lemikre b'sifra, he got up to read the Torah. They called him up this past Shabbos to get the Aliyah of Parshas HaChodesh. And instead of reading HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, this month is for you, a month of renewal, he read the words wrong. He read it HaChereish Haya Libam. He couldn't even read the words right. Hacheresh hayalivam. Have their hearts become deaf. He exchanged a dalid for a resh. Hachodesh became hacheresh. Lachem became libam. He couldn't even read Hebrew anymore. He didn't know his Hebrew letters. He forgot the aleph base. The Gemara concludes, on I guess a positive note, that the rabbis davened for him, v'hadar talmud, that he was healed, and he got his learning back. His Torah was restored to him. But it's an unbelievably painful and sad story. And it reminds us that there are no guarantees that anyone's going to make it to the end. We're all desperately holding on, longing, hopefully, being mekayim animam b'muda shlema, clinging with that hope of geula. But there's no guarantees that anyone's going to make it. But I want to share with you an interpretation of the Kotzke Rebbe of this story. And the Kotzke Rebbe himself was a great mystery. He spent the last 20 so years of his life closeted away from basically everyone, seeking authenticity, seeking a life of truthfulness. The Kotzke Rebbe had, Kedarko B'Kodesh, a very cryptic comment on this Gemara. The Kotzke Rebbe said the following, Afal pi, shehacheresh hayalibam. It's true that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach read the words, hacheresh hayalibam, have their hearts become deaf, have their hearts become numb. Even though Rabbi Elazar ben Arach said, hacheresh hayalibam, afal pi chein, hachodesh hazel lachem. Nonetheless, this month is for you. What does that mean? Sounds like a kutzker, for those who are familiar with the style of the kutzker. Afal pi shacheresh hayalibam. Even though their hearts are deaf, afal pi chein, hachodesh hazel lachem. Nonetheless, this month is for you. This month is a month of renewal. What was the kutzker saying? What was the kutzker Rebbe hinting? And what can we draw chizuk from this unbelievable, painful story of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach? I think what the Kotzke Rebbe, who knows? No one knows what the Kotzke Rebbe meant. But I think maybe the Kotzke Rebbe was saying, it's true. Your heart is still a little bit numb. And that's, I'm telling you, that's how I feel in a very real way. After a year of going through what the Jewish people have gone through, the conversations I've had with people over the course of the last year, the loss of life, the loss of parnassa, the loss of faith, the loss of relationships, the struggles that people have endured over the course of the last year, it's a lot. The Jewish people have felt a kotzer ruach and an avodah kasha, and a certain deafness. Hacheresh hayalibam. There's a part of us that's numb, and finds it very, very difficult to come to the Seder and to say, ah, and this year, Mashiach's really going to happen. The Chafetz Chaim said to Rav Shimon Schwab in 1930, in the month of Nisan, it's a suffik shakul. You have to believe 50-50 chance every moment Mashiach is coming. Ani mame b'muna shlema, afal pi sheyisomei im kol zeh achakalo. But that's hard for us. But the Kotzker said, afal pi, even though, hacheresh hayalibam, even though our hearts are somewhat deaf, nonetheless, hachodesh hazeh lachem. Nonetheless, we have a right and a responsibility to somehow hold on, to rise above that, and to find a way to renew. Despite the fact that we don't have the answers to why we went through what we went through, why the world went through what it went through this past year. But hachodesh hazeh lachem, afal pi, with all the questions and uncertainties we still have, afal pi shecheresh hayalibam, even though our hearts are numb and our hearts are still deaf, afal pi chein, we have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. We have to believe that just like the Jews in Mitzrayim experienced that setback, the Vayamein Ha'am disappeared so quickly, that hope and trust and faith and expectation of the Jewish people to finally get out of Mitzrayim, which felt so real for a moment, and then came crumbling down, that Moshe Rabbeinu was being laughed at. But somehow the Jewish people, afal pi chein, they did believe. They found a way to continue to believe. We could read the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach and be crushed by it. And we could say, if such an exalted tzaddik couldn't make it to the end of his journey, what makes us think we're going to be able to hold on? Or you could read Rabbi Elazar ben Arach's story as a very human one. And just like the end of his story, he was healed through the tefillah of his contemporaries. We have the possibility of healing ourselves. Afal pi she'acheresh hayalibam. Despite the fact, or even though our hearts are deaf, nonetheless, afal pi chein, said the Kotzke Rebbe, hachodesh hazeh lachem. So to answer the question, are we disappointed? Are we disappointed 1 year later after our world has been overturned that Mashiach hasn't come yet? That this pandemic and everything it brought on humanity and the Jewish people and each and every one of us physically, emotionally, the psychological upheavals, that we couldn't find a way to squeeze the story of Mashiach into this story? Are we disappointed? Yes, of course we are. Somewhat disappointed. And are we feeling frustration after 2,000 years that Mashiach hasn't come? Yes, of course. And yet, somehow the Jewish people continue to believe. And in the schus of that believing, in the schus of that hopefulness, maybe that itself will become the ticket to our Geula. I want to end with a quote from the Chida, the Holy Chida, the great Sfaradi Chacham, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulay, in his teachings Midbar Kademos, which is a collection, an alphabetical collection of rabbinic teachings. And I want to end with two stories from Rav Shimshon David Pinkus. The Chida in the Midbar Kademos, under the entry for Kivoy, which means hope, he quotes a Yalkut Shimoni in Tehillim, a Medrash in Tehillim. Afilu ein biyad Yisrael el ha-kivoy. My friends, listen to the words of this Medrash. Even if we don't have anything in our hand other l'geula b'schar ha-kivoy, the very fact that you're still hoping, in some small measure, that itself is a big enough schus to be zocha to geula. We maybe spoke too much Lashon Hara. We maybe mumbled our brachos. We maybe did this avera and that avera. We didn't do this or we didn't do that. But the fact that the Jewish people are still hoping, despite all of the setbacks, that alone, says the Medrash, is a schus, a big enough schus to bring the geula. And the Chida quotes from the Tzemach David. The Tzemach David who explained the bracha that we say every single day in our Shmona Esrei. The tefillah of Esemach David, we daven Meheira Tatzmiach. Hashem, please send David, Malka Mashiach. Please send the Geula. V'karno tarim bishuasecha ki lishuascha kivinu kol hayom. The Tzemach David explained the beautiful pshat in the words of this tefillah. You'll think about it when you daven Shmona Esrei. Esemach David, Hashem, please send the Geula. And if you'll ask, in what merit do we ask for the Geula? What right do we have to ask for the Geula? Let me see your mitzvahs. Let me see your lack of averos, and we're embarrassed to display. We don't have this chus. V'chiteima she'ein lanu chus. And if you'll ask, in what merit do we dare to ask for the redemption? We continue the tefillah. Meheira tatzmiach. You know why? Ki lishu'ascha kivinu. In the merit of our kivoy. V'yesh lanu ha-kivoy. We still hope. The fact that we still believe. U'v'schar ha-kivu k'day she'tigalenu. And in the merit of just holding on, if nothing else, that itself is remarkable. That despite the numbness of our heart, despite the kotzer ruach, despite the inability to v'ya'amein ha'am on a surface level, but in our heart of hearts, v'ya'amein ha'am, of course we believe. Of course we're still hoping. Of course we're still longing. Let me leave you with two stories of Rav Shimshon David Pinkus, whose yahrzeit is coming up on the 12th of Nisan. Rav Pinkus was the chief rabbi of Ofakim for about 20 years before his tragic patira, his tragic loss of life in a terrible automobile accident with his wife and his daughter 20 years ago in 2001. His yahrzeit, like I said, is Yud Beis Nisan, it's coming up. He was a remarkable person. And his Torah, the amount of Torah that's been published after his passing in English and Hebrew, remarkable impact that he has in the world to this day. Rav Shimshon Pinkus was a believer. Rav Shimshon Pinkus was a person of kivoy, of tremendous hope, and he was a davener. He was a person that understood that when you daven for something, even when it hurts, sometimes you actually get what you want. He was a young boy, it was a shuas night, and his father was heading off to shul to learn all night, as was the minhag. And as a young boy, he desperately wanted to join his father in shul. And he begged his father, please, Tati, Abba, can I come to shul with you? I want to be like the big boys. I want to be like the adults. I want to stay up all night learning Torah. And his parents said, Shimi, you're a little too young. It's not happening. And they sent little Shimshon to bed. Shimshon went to his room. He closed the door, but he did not put on his pajamas. He did not get into bed. He sat there davening that his father should have a change of heart. And he davened, and he davened, and he davened. Hashem, it's not fair. I want to go to shul. I want to go to shul, shavuos night. I understand my parents made a decision. I understand they think I'm too young. And he sat there, and he sat there, and he davened, and he hoped. His father's sitting in shul. An hour goes by or so. He's learning with his chavrusa, and he says, you know what? My little Shimshi's sitting at home. He's probably fast asleep by now, but I feel bad. He really wanted to come. Maybe I'll go wake him up. Maybe I'll see if he's willing to get out of bed. You know, I'll take him to shul for a little bit, then I'll bring him home. He was feeling bad. How can I deny my son? You know, what a sweet request. He wants to stay up all night learning. He wants to let him come to shul or fall asleep in the back of the shul, whatever it is. He comes home and he quietly opens the door to his son's room and he sees he's sitting there. He's dressed in his Yom Tov clothing and he's sitting there wide awake. And he says to his son, he's incredulous. He says to his son, how did you know to be sitting here all dressed already? And he looks at his father and he says, because I knew you'd come back. How did you know I'd come back? Because I davened. Because I davened, and davening works. When a person davens, it works. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus once shared this lesson with an avreich in a very unusual and remarkable way. There was a fellow who had been married for a number of years without children. And he knew that Rav Shimshon Pinkus was a person of kivoy, a person of tremendous hope, a person who knew how to daven, and he asked Rav Shimshon, please daven for me and my Rebbetzin. We're not blessed with children. So he davened for him a bit, and one day the fellow came back to him and said, Rav Shimshon, are you davening for you? It's not working. We still haven't been blessed with a child. Rav Shimshon Pinkus says, I have an idea. Call your wife, tell her you're going to be home a little bit late. We're going for a ride. Okay. He gets in the car, he starts driving. This young Avreich has no idea where they are. They're driving in Eretz Yisrael somewhere. They're driving. All of a sudden, Rav Shimshon Pinkus pulls off the road. He drives down this dirt area, this path. He comes to this desolate orchard, in the middle of nowhere. And he says, you know what? Let's get out here. Let's stand under these trees. You'll go under one tree. I'll go under another tree. We'll dive into Hashem. We'll pour out our hearts to Hashem. That Hashem, please bless this young man and his wife with a child. So they hop out of the car and they're standing by the trees and they start to sway. They start to daven. All of a sudden, Rav Shimshon Pinkus jumps back in the car, slams the door, waves goodbye to the Avreich and says, I'll pick you up in an hour. And he drives off, leaving this Avreich literally in the middle of nowhere, in the dark, with nothing but the sounds of animals and an occasional Bedouin wanderer off in the distance. The fellow says, I'm standing there in the dark. I have no idea where I am. The sounds of animals filling the cold and desolate night. I'm filled with panic, dread, sorrow, and despair. And he said, you know what? In that moment, for the first time in my life, I said, there's only one person to talk to. There's only one being to talk to. There's only me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that I've never felt it in such a strong way before. And the fellow started to daven. And his tefillos turned to tears. And his tears turned to just losing himself in those moments of prayer. He was so lost in his tefillah that he didn't even hear when Rav Pinkus' car pulled up an hour later. Until Rav Pinkus stepped out and shook him from his tefillos. And he said to him with a broad smile on his face, you davened well. You really davened well. And 9 months later, this fellow and his wife were finally blessed with their first child. These are the stories that I think about when we come to the Seder. Here we are again, feeling so tired, feeling so exhausted, feeling so unsure of what lies ahead. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity in the month of Nisan, HaChodesh Hazel Lachem, as the Kotzker Rebbe said, Afal Pisha Acheresh Hayalibam. Yes, we're still numb, but we're still hopeful. Let's use this month to daven. Let's use this month to hope. Let's put our hope and faith and our trust in that possibility of Geula once again. Let's believe that there's so much goodness that Hashem wants to bring to the world. And it's so close. And let's not be frustrated by the passage of time. But let's renew ourselves. HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem. Let's renew ourselves and hope that maybe this year, we don't know for sure. But maybe this year, if we daven in a real way, if we hope in a real way, in the schar, as the Chidah quoted, that beautiful medrash, in the schar of just hoping, that itself is a big enough schus to bring the gula. And if you'll ask yourself, why and what merit? The fact that I still believe, that itself is the greatest merit of all. So I want to wish us all that blessing of gula, that blessing of all the sweetness and goodness that Amir Tzashem this month will usher in for us, each and every one of us, for our families, for the entire world. And I want to wish all of you a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Thank you so much for being here. And I look forward to the opportunity to learn again in the future.